We are in Judges 19 in our study through the book of Judges. And we're to what sometimes is called the appendix. It's after the last of the judges in the book of Judges, who was Samson. And now we're looking at examples of other things that happened during this period of some nearly 400 years or so. The last one we had was about a Levite. This one's about a Levite. The last one involved Bethlehem, so does this one. Mm-hmm. And the next story also involves Bethlehem, and that's the Book of Ruth. So Book of Ruth starts off kind of rough, but turns out very nice. Mm-hmm. These stories do not
don't
have nice parts in them. It's difficult to find a hero, a righteous person, somebody to look up to. They're not designed to do that. And when we were looking at the actual judges, we found cycles where the Hebrew people, after the days of Joshua and the elders, they went back into idolatry, which led into immorality and anarchy, and then God allows an enemy to overwhelm them, and after a while they come to their senses, oy vey, and cry out to God for help. And he helps them, sends them a deliverer or judge. And then they have a time of peace and living for God until they don't. And then it goes again. Mm-hmm. So this is an example of what it was like. Also, these two stories here, are last one we just finished, mm-hmm. and this one, are about Levites. And that is, why do you think it's about the Levites are involved in these stories?
Well, I mean, Levites are supposed to be the spiritual leaders, you know, because that's where the Levites were, the priests came out of the Levite, the tribe of Levi, so they're supposed to be the
spiritual leaders are fallen, and that leaves the nation.
Yeah, and these stories, even though they're toward the back of the book, they don't take place back here. They take place more in the front.
Almost at the very beginning.
There's no date in here.
Right.
And it isn't, in the days of so-and-so.
Right, right.
But there are clues in here.
Yeah. It answers the question that we've asked as mm-hmm. we've gone through Judges, and even as we're heading toward the end of Joshua, was where are the Levites during all these, with all these things going on? Now we know,
mm-hmm.
They were falling apart too, like everything else. So
let's look at this particular Levite. If you're watching my page here, double sided, I've got the chapter. It's would you read the front page, your translation or another? But it's going down to 15. It's the it's the backdrop to the crimes.
So 1 through 15?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to read out the New American Standard.
Fine.
Now it came about in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite staying in the remote part of the hill country of Ephraim, who took a concubine for himself from Bethlehem in Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him, and she went away from him to her father's house in Bethlehem in Judah, and was there for a period of 4 months. Then her husband arose and went after her to speak tenderly to her in order to bring her back, taking with him his servant and a pair of donkeys. So she brought him to her father's house, and when the girl's father saw him, he was glad to meet him. His father-in-law, the girl's father, detained him, and he remained with him 3 days. So they ate, drank, and lodged there. Now on the fourth day, they got up early in the morning, and he prepared to go. The girl's father said to his son-in-law, "Sustain yourself with a piece of bread, and afterward you may go." So both of them sat down, ate, and drank together. The girl's father said to the man, "Please be willing to spend the night and let your heart be merry." Then the man arose to go, but his father-in-law urged him so that he spent the night there again. On the fifth day, he arose to go early in the morning. The girl's father said, "Please sustain yourself and wait until afternoon." So both of them ate. When the man arose to go along with his concubine and servant, his father-in-law, the girl's father, said to him, "Behold now, the day has drawn to a close. Please spend the night. Lo, the day is coming to an end. Spend the night here, that your heart may be merry. Then tomorrow you may arise early for your journey, so that you may go home." But the man was not willing to spend the night, so he arose, departed, and came to a place opposite Jebus, that is Jerusalem. And there were with him a pair of saddle donkeys. His concubine was also with him. When they were near Jebus, the day was almost gone. The servant said to his master, "Please come, let us turn aside into this city of the Jebusites and spend the nights in it." However, his master said to him, "We will not turn aside into the city of foreigners who are not of the sons of Israel, but we will go on as far as Gibeah." He said to his servant, "Come, let us approach one of these places, and we will spend the night in Gibeah or Ramah." So they passed along and went their way, and the sun set on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. They turned aside there in order to enter and lodge in Gibeah. When they entered, they sat down in the open square of the city, for no one took them into his house to spend the night.
All right. Doesn't look like too much trouble. Some of the things in here are a little bit strange. We'll talk about those. In fact, the Levite, we can question why he has a concubine, but at least he's going after her. And the father-in-law is doing the...
I don't want my little girl to go.
Yes, being hospitable. Everything's going well. But it won't. So let's back up a little bit and ask a few questions here. The first verse has concubine in it. The Levite has a concubine. What is a concubine?
I always thought of a concubine as those that are, you know, not necessarily married. You know, he's got more than what, you know, because it's mentioned throughout, you know, concubines are mentioned. You know, like Solomon had X number of wives, and then he had a concubine on the side, so that, you know, friends with benefits, so to say.
Hundreds of each, yes.
Hundreds of each. Mm-hmm. And so, but here it says he has a concubine, you know, so it's like one, but then it refers to him as his wife. So my thinking of what a concubine is in this context doesn't seem to be fitting.
So in as it's written here, a concubine is kind of a wife, but maybe not a full wife.
Like a second-class wife.
Yes.
Or is she not an Israelite?
She appears to be because she's from Bethlehem in Judah. So that doesn't seem to be an issue. But that is a thought, because if you don't have a Jewish wife, Hebrew, then maybe you wouldn't have the full wedding. Yes, that could be a factor. I don't think it is here. And whether or not the man has a full wife or not isn't said. So we don't know. Maybe he only has the concubine. And if it's not a full wife, why would she put up with it?
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we know that women throughout all ages put up with all kinds of things for reasons we can't imagine. I just want to shack up. I don't want to get married. Okay. Wake up, woman. But
he only hits me on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays.
Mm-hmm. So we can't ask why, because it's not part of the story. Mm-hmm. But let's go to, you've already answered some of this. What is a Levite? And do you see problems in this story already?
They're from that tribe,
mm-hmm.
right? And as we've said before, you know, not you know, all priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. But
because,
these were,
huh? Because how do you become a priest?
Well, because you had to be a descendant of Aaron,
Okay.
And you had to be called by God to be that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so but those that did not work priestly, like they would serve in the temple or having to do something with the temple, that was their function mm-hmm. as a tribe, right? Yeah. And so you've got this person from that tribe.
You know? Okay. Well, what problems do we have here already in verse 1?
Well, verse 1, you've got the fact that why is he traveling around?
Mm-hmm.
We saw this with...
You said he's supposed to be at the temple.
He's supposed to be at the temple.
Or the tabernacle.
Yes. Why isn't he there? Why is he mm-hmm. traveling around? And we saw this with in the previous chapter in that story, the same thing.
And that one was being a priest when he shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
This one here doesn't say he's a priest.
No, he's a priest.
It just says he's a Levite.
Yeah.
That's it.
We don't have that issue.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, why is he traveling around? Why is he serving at the temple?
And why does he have a concubine?
Why does he have a concubine? Yeah.
So, we have some issues. It's,
right off the bat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It doesn't edit it.
It starts to raise questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no editorial comment here that
right.
says this shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But the reader understands. This doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Verse 2 says his concubine played the harlot with him. I don't want to go too far into this. We know what that means, but not all the translations say that. And some of the ancient Jewish commentators say she was angry with him. But
that would kind of go against the part at the beginning where you said, like, women put up with stuff. Mm-hmm. She apparently didn't put up anymore.
No. She went home.
She went, yeah.
Well, the New Century says she was unfaithful to him.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, she's messing around.
Yeah.
Well, she's unfaithful in not staying with him, at least.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that's a major issue either way, because most everything about this story is messed up.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Why would she be playing the harlot? Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not a major part mm-hmm. of the story. But for whatever reason, she is not happy with the situation, and she goes home.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know yet why, but later on we'll find out that he's a creep.
yeah.
So, but he decides to go get her, but he waits 4 months. It's a little bit odd.
Mm-hmm.
Why wait 4 months? Sounds like he was miffed with her also
mm-hmm.
until he got to the point where he said, well, I do miss her. I'm going to go fetch her back.
Mm-hmm.
And how many women are lured back by that little expression, I do love you, dear. I'll change. You know.
Yeah, it's like, you know, in verse 3 it says, you know, he went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back. I mean, how much did he just speak kindly to her to get her to come back?
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll speak kindly to her
just to
until.
Get you back. Yeah.
Yes.
Why don't you go back home? We're going to go back to the mm-hmm. same old routine here.
Yeah. And spend time with her father.
Mm-hmm.
This looks good. Brings a donkey along so she doesn't have to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Most everybody walks. Yeah. He's putting out the effort. This looks good.
Yeah.
And his father-in-law is glad to meet him. This could be the first time.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, I wondered about that.
And one of the comparisons we're going to have is that here in Bethlehem, there's hospitality. But in Gibeah, where we'll get to later,
yeah.
there was no hospitality.
Yeah.
So the father-in-law is being very hospitable,
uh-huh.
welcoming him, stay longer.
Uh-huh.
And it really concentrates on the man and the father-in-law. They're getting along great.
Yeah.
Is he spending any time with his wife?
With the concubine?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder, was the father-in-law trying to get his son-in-law to get angry? Because, okay, you know, my daughter said he did something that got her mad and left.
Oh, that's good. What story was she telling Dad?
Yeah, what did she tell Dad? And Dad's like, okay, well, you know what? Anybody's going to be able to keep a front up for, you know, a few hours. you know, so let's go days. Let's see what I can do. Can I do something that's going to rival him? See if he actually raises his voice to you.
So that goes to the question, why did the father-in-law urge the man to stay? And hospitality is one, but this is a good one too.
You know,
to test out this this man.
You know, it's like they say, employees. You know, employees can be on their best behavior until they pass probation.
Yes.
And then you see the real them, you know, when they can't be gotten rid of. So who knows? You know, I don't know. I don't know if that is true.
Now that brings up an interesting idea too, because kind of playing off of that is that because you have these references in these verses that we read so far, lots of heart being merry, references to eating and drinking, and there are a number of commentators that talk about they were just getting hammered here. They were just getting drunk. Now,
It doesn't say that,
but you can read that in there. But the thing about it is, if you take that and play off of what he said, was it get him liquored up so that he will divulge stuff that he would normally divulge if he was more sober?
And maybe the father-in-law just liked him.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Maybe there's some good luck to having a Levite in your home. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
So the question doesn't have an answer. Read the story.
Yeah, but it does raise questions.
Think? Yes.
Yeah, it does raise questions.
At the very least, we're talking somebody who's very hospitable, and maybe he's anxious to have the daughter issue settled, because there could be some shame in having the daughter come back home.
Yeah.
And if he can get her out in a proper...
Yeah, especially with a Levite.
Yes.
Yeah.
So why did the Levite linger? Here again, there's no answer in the text.
It doesn't say. I'm going to use yours. It doesn't say that. Move on to the next question. Somebody's used that on me before.
Yes.
But that could fit in with the whole getting drunk thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe he knew he was at the end of his wits, that if he stayed any longer, he was going to snap at his father-in-law, and everything his wife said would come out as being true, and then he'd be ashamed to go back by himself.
Or maybe he can't actually make a decision to move on where he's supposed to. Who knows? But one reason I raised it is because we have this whole sequence of events on, shall we say, page one, that are going to turn into horrible things on the back, and even worse things in the next chapter.
Yeah.
Because what starts off as a delay here turns into the death of tens of thousands of Israelites.
Right.
Which won't be in this chapter, but will be coming
it's
up.
Leading up to
it's leading up to, and these seemingly innocent decisions are going to have
consequences,
yes. So then he finally goes, and here again, things that lead into something else. He doesn't leave until the evening, and that's part of the father-in-law trying to stay, and the Levite's seemingly inability to make a decision and keep to it. Until he finally had enough, but it's afternoon. Now the problem with leaving in the afternoon is
you have less daylight to travel.
Yeah, the roads are not lit,
and they're not safe.
There's no highway
and
patrol.
They may not be safe.
Yes,
and most of the towns were almost a day's journey anyways.
Mm-hmm.
If you started in the morning, you didn't make it. You're walking, so you didn't make it more than from town to town. It was a day's walk. So them to leave in the afternoon.
You're traveling the mountaintop, too.
Yeah.
We're in the mountains.
So he's... I mean, I realize he wanted to get out of underneath the clutches, so to speak, of his father-in-law, but he needed to he needed to do that when he got up in the morning.
And on the way, it's getting dark, and the servant says, well, let's turn aside to Jebus, which is also known as Jerusalem. Well, in the last story we had, Laish was renamed to be Dan after their ancestor.
Right.
So cities get renamed. So Jerusalem is renamed to Jebus after the Jebusites, their ancestor Jebus.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ancient writings outside of the Bible showing the name was Jerusalem way back with the Hittites, you know, and it got renamed. So anyway, that's why it has both names here.
Yeah.
But it isn't Jerusalem at the time.
Right.
So the Levite doesn't want to stop there. Why is that?
Because these are Canaanite. They're not. They're not. They're not Hebrews.
And he wants some
familiarity, something in common with the people.
What's to say with his own people?
What's the word for the proper kind of food when you're
kosher?
Kosher. He wants kosher hospitality. He doesn't want some questionable getting beat up or having pig or something.
Didn't work out real good for him, did it?
No. So he wants to go on to a Benjamite city because it'll be safer, hospitable.
Or so he thinks.
So he thinks. Let's see. We're still. So he gets to Gibeah. What was the first sign that things were not right?
Nobody welcomed him into their home.
They were there. I'm guessing they went to the center of town near the well or whatever, and they sat there. And people go, "You're not from around here, are you?" "No, I'm traveling." "Oh, well, then you should come stay with me." Nobody's being welcoming towards him.
Right.
Which is this was amongst the Hebrews. The custom was you welcome the stranger, and nobody's doing this.
There's no
nobody's
motel.
Following custom.
You come. Actually, this city center would be right inside the gate.
Yeah.
And somebody would see you and take you in.
Yeah.
But why didn't they not take him in?
It wasn't as Benjaminite as he thought.
Yes. So hospitality is not there. Let me suggest there's another reason.
Yeah.
And this goes back to one of the cores of the story. He's a Levite.
Exactly.
He's not a good Levite. He's not in the tabernacle doing what Levites are supposed to be doing. He's out on the hill. He has a concubine. We'll find in the story that he's very immoral and uncaring. Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still a Levite.
Mm-hmm.
He's recognized as a Levite.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some, and this town has a lot of evil people. There's something about evil people that are repelled by righteousness, even the image of it.
Mm-hmm.
So more and more in our culture, there's not just ignoring the church,
right?
But it is hatred toward the church and Christianity and Christian values.
Mm-hmm.
And any politician who seems to be favoring the church or Christians is blasted, or an entertainer or businessman.
Right.
You have to say you hate this thing, or we hate you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You just can't be neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And so, even though the Levite, they don't know him, they don't realize his character is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Still, he's a Levite, and they don't want him in their home because they will feel judged.
Mm-hmm.
And this, he's authority, he's God, you know. And they because there's this, when you turn to idolatry, which we saw in the previous one, then it goes into immorality, and here gross immorality, and then anarchy, and you lose your mind.
Yeah,
and pretty soon you don't know that a woman is carrying a human baby in her belly. You don't know what a woman is. You don't know what a family is, and you hate anybody who says what those are.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so that's the situation here. So it isn't just that he's a stranger and they're not hospitable. It's he's a Levite,
right?
And he represents the authority of God, and they can't stand that,
right?
Text doesn't say that.
Yeah,
it does, I admit
but
that.
I didn't think about the fact that they recognized him as a Levite.
Well, here's the thing, because we saw this last week with the other lessons, is that Levites talked a certain way. And then, of course, there's probably the way he was dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they recognized him as that. And we'll see that as we go on with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So, That's 1 through 15. If you're looking at this paper, we're turning it over now. And let's read about the old man. That'll take us down, whatever translation you'd like to read, Jim, down to 20.
All right. Just then an old man came in from his work in the field at evening, who also was from the mountains of Ephraim. He was staying in Gibeah, whereas the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he raised his eyes, he saw the traveler in the open square of the city. And the old man said, "Where are you going, and where do you come from?" And he said to him, he says, "We're passing from Bethlehem in Judah toward the remote mountains of Ephraim. I am from there. I went to Bethlehem in Judah. Now I'm going to the house of the Lord. But there was no one who will take me into his house. Although we have both straws and fodder for our donkeys and bread and wine for myself, for your female servant and for the young man who is with your servant, there is no lack of anything." And the old man said, "Peace be with you. However, let all your needs be my responsibility. Only do not spend the night in the open square." So he brought him into his house and gave fodder to the donkeys, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. Do you want me to keep going or?
Paul, would you read the next section, Perverted Men?
As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came to your house, that we may know him carnally."
Mm-hmm. Sex.
But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, "No, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage. Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out. Now humble them and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing." But the men would not heed him. So the man took his concubine and brought her out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night until morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go.
Okay, the story's gotten quite ugly. Where did the help come from? My help comes from the hills. It came from a stranger.
Oh, okay.
An old man from Ephraim, not from a Benjamite,
right.
Not from somebody from Gibeah.
Yeah.
And the old man knew something that apparently the Levite and his servant didn't know. What was that?
After dark, you're in the wrong neighborhood.
Yes. Whatever you do, don't stay out here at night. We're in Judges 19. This is like Genesis 19.
Oh, Sodom and Gomorrah?
Sodom and Gomorrah. So how does this compare to the story about Sodom?
Well, you have two angels that went down to check out the city to see mm-hmm. if the reports that or the things that God had been hearing were really like that. And they go down there, and it's the same thing. They're welcome. They're, you know, Lot brings them into his
hospitality.
House. Hospitality.
Yes, protection.
And then as soon as it gets dark, the men of the city come out and they're banging on the door, and we want those strangers that are in your house to come
mm-hmm.
out, and they want to do the same thing.
They don't know they're angels.
Yeah.
But there again, they're attracted to God.
Yeah.
In a very perverted
right.
way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they want to have sex with men.
Mm-hmm.
What's the contrast between there and this story?
Well, the contrast here is that Lot didn't give them up. And
he would have.
Except that the angel struck everybody blind.
Yeah,
and
so there's no interruption. No
there was
help
no divine
angels
interruption.
Here. Okay.
Yeah.
What else? Those were heathen. These are Hebrews.
These are supposed to be Hebrews.
Yes.
Well, they're Benjamites.
Uh-huh.
They're Benjamites. Whether they act like it or not, they are Benjamites. So,
another thing is in the story of Genesis, every man from all ages, every quarter of the city in Sodom came. Here, certain perverted men came. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the whole city.
Right.
So, in the story in in Genesis, it was, are there any righteous men there?
Right.
If there are at least 10, God will spare the city.
Right.
Okay, where are the righteous men in Gibeah?
Well, I can tell you where they're not. they're not coming out and breaking this crowd up, mm-hmm. and you know, and you
well,
know.
the old man brought him in, you know, trying to protect him, mm-hmm. and he went out. But if he's how righteous can he be to say, here, let me send my virgin daughter out to you?
Well, Lot did the same thing.
Yeah.
So, Lot and the men of Sodom said, and Lot wants to be a judge over us. Just because he was a righteous man, being the nephew of Abraham, mm-hmm. and knowing God, mm-hmm. made them feel like he was a judge. And that's an issue today, mm-hmm. because you don't have to say a thing, but just because you're a Christian and don't take part of things, people feel like you're judging them.
Yeah. You are judged, and therefore those that judge you say, you're going to judge us, mm-hmm. so I don't like you.
So we've got some contrast here, and one of my big questions is, where are the righteous men, and why didn't they speak up and interfere?
There was probably, the righteous men were probably silent.
Well, yeah. They were definitely silent.
And
they're not really righteous.
Or they're not really righteous, but mm-hmm. they, with being silent, they've been forced to listen to the alternative viewpoint and be shouted down, that they don't realize, wait, there's 50 violent men out there, mm-hmm. perverted men wanting that. I'm by myself. I'm not going to get myself hurt. But they don't realize is that there's probably 5,000 of those righteous men that are too quiet because that one vocal
they're
minority.
Afraid. They're afraid. They don't want to get
involved. They don't realize, okay, strength in numbers, that if all 5,000 of them went up and surrounded the house.
They don't want to be called holy, goody-goody.
Or whatever. But they didn't realize how many of them there mm-hmm. were, probably.
So for what is sound like today?
Yes.
what they say is the silent majority. Mm-hmm. You know, because
right,
if you're not
majority.
Vocal, you're the part of the silent majority, and then you know who speaks up.
Right.
So this really there's no good part of this.
Yeah. No.
Wanted to throw out the daughter, and it looks like the Levite did something generous in that he threw out his concubine, so his host daughter, I mean, he just seizes her and throws her out there.
Yeah.
And where's his sense of right and wrong? He's trying to save his own skin.
Well, he is. But there's this thing again. This is a different time. This is a different culture. And in their culture, women are seen as property. They're nothing better than cattle. And so for them, it's nothing to throw them out there and appease this mob with
them. He doesn't throw out a servant.
No, but he throws out, but women were seen mm-hmm. differently.
And he doesn't stand up for himself or no.
No. And here's the other thing. He's supposed to be a Levite. And it's mm-hmm. like, he's not thinking about the safety of others. He's thinking about saving his own skin.
And so we have a very poor example of a Levite.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Still, he's a Levite. The men of the city have spotted him.
Uh-huh.
And they know where he is.
Yeah.
And they're attracted to this.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something about darkness. What's that?
Yeah, this is something that I have seen over the years in different situations where you have someone here who professes to be something, and we see the flaws in him. They mm-hmm. come out through this story. So he's really not all pure as his title would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing about darkness is, as you mentioned, darkness, it's attracted to the light and reacts to the light, but darkness is also attracted to darkness. And I have seen people that gave an appearance of being something better, but they were doing hidden things, mm-hmm. and darkness finds out darkness. And over the years with different people, I saw things come to them, things happen to them, and their response was, why me? Why did this happen to me? Well, we found mm-hmm. out later, oh, you were doing this. And the thing about it is darkness knows the deeds of darkness. And so there is this thing here. They come out to him, but also he's not the most upstanding person either. So it's kind of like it's these guys are attracted to someone who's not right either.
So we have ungodly people having kind of a magnet to hypocrisy.
Yes.
You're supposed to be of God. You are not of God. Uh-huh. Whether they not logically think about it, I think logic has left them.
There is no logic here.
So there are reasons why he was targeted here, and all these things about he represents light, but he isn't, and he's more than just fresh meat.
Yeah,
I mean, why don't they just have sex with themselves?
Yeah,
and it's like today, dress like a woman or think you're a some whatever in your own home, but no, we have to have a drag hour in the library or the church, and you have to agree with us. And that, wait a minute, can't you just leave us alone? No, we can't.
No, well, if
there's something in us that wants
it,
that
has always
has
amazed
to
me
attack you.
How things are pushed in the name of rights, and as they do that, they violate the rights of others.
It's right
it
as long as you agree
me.
With me.
Yeah, it amazes me.
But would they allow the same auto that with you say, okay, with putting evangelical Christianity reading our we gotta cancel that. Even though you rented it and you knew we were coming, we're gonna cancel you because we didn't realize what book you were reading.
The news these days is scary. Yes. Don't have time to go into that.
Well, let
me finish the chapter from verse 26. Then the woman came as the day was dawning and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. When her master arose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way, there was his concubine fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, "Get up, let's be going." But there was no answer. So the man lifted her onto the donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. When he entered his house, he took a knife, laid hold of the concubine, and divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout the territory of Israel. 12 pieces would be 12 tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was that all who saw it said, "No such deed has been done or seen from the day of the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it, confer, and speak up." Ooh. So.
But I mean, okay, he sent his concubine out. She got ravaged, pillaged, whatever, you know, by the mob, and she made it back to the house, but then died, or all but dead, at the door. He put on a donkey, and she died on the way. So he cuts her up. What does that say about him?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a lot of people assume she was dead at the door, but as you said, maybe she was just unconscious
or all but dead.
All but yes.
Yeah, and because she went there. And
in fact, we don't even know if she was all the way dead when he cut her up.
But we know she was dead after he cut her up.
Yes. Now here again, why a Levite? Part of the duties of a Levite is to cut up animals for sacrifice. So he knows how to do this. That's why, still today, Levites make great butchers.
Yeah. But you know, here's the thing about this is that, you know, his motive for doing this, and you know, one would think if you just don't read any further, that he's sending this through the nation to say, hey, this atrocity has been done, you know. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is and we'll see this from in the next chapter, he didn't do this for justice. This was all about vengeance.
Yes.
He lies. When they come and talk to him later, he lies. He doesn't talk about how the fact that he
threw
her.
That goes to the question, what was he hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, he wanted vengeance.
Yes.
That's what he wanted. I mean, does this sound like a Levite?
Mm-hmm.
Or how a Levite should be?
I also have the question, who was the eyewitness? Because the story he tells later is not this story.
Yeah.
Not all of it. So I'm wondering what the old man or possibly the servant.
That would be a good guess, yeah.
Conveyed. Yeah. Because this isn't just a piece of fiction. This is history.
This happened, yeah.
So sometimes you wonder, these are eyewitness accounts. Who was the eyewitness that said, this is what really happened?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I don't know. It doesn't say. How would you describe the man's righteous indignation, if we can call it that?
Well,
I mean, he's indignant. Maybe he's carving her up.
He's angry.
He's trying to accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe his indignation?
Well, it was definitely over the top. Definitely inappropriate.
It is misguided. You know, he's, you know, I...
How about late? He's indignant now. Where was his indignation the night?
At the previous house. At the house. Yeah.
And he sleeps in. He has a good night's sleep and gets up late. I mean, now he's indignant.
Yeah.
Now he can blame somebody else.
Right.
So he's indignant about somebody else. Never looks at himself.
That's right.
And maybe to the day he dies, he justifies what he did.
Yeah. And this is a leap?
Well, she was just a slut anyway. I mean, whatever he wants to say.
Yeah. And this is a Levite.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Stand for something or you fall for everything, sounds like.
So what was he hoping to accomplish with carving and sending vengeance?
I think it was vengeance.
Did he really think that all tens of thousands would die, including almost all of Benjamin?
Usually, in things like this, people don't really think about that.
They're thinking for the moment.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm angry. I'm going to do that. And they don't think about the consequences.
Yeah. You know, me and some of the boys, we're going to go back down over there. And they're going to send out the people that did this to my concubine. And we're going to punish them. And then it'll all be done.
And we don't think about what
and we will find out that the whole tribe stands up for those perverted men.
Yeah.
It goes very, very bad.
Yeah. It just goes from bad to worse.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean, sent her throughout the territory of Israel? He spread her body parts out?
Yeah. Cut them up and sent them out to different tribes.
12 donkeys or whatever.
Rips or something?
Huh?
Well, just say this.
No, this is, look what happened here. Look what happened here.
We were on our way home. We stopped off at what should have been a hospitable city, and they took my concubine. They ravaged her and they killed her. And we need to get
He's back home in the mountains of Ephraim, and he's got other men. And he tells them the story, his part of the story, and he finds people. Said, would you take this to Judah? Would you take this to Naphtali? Mm-hmm. Would you take this to even to Benjamin?
Mm-hmm.
And take the message. This is what happened. And what he's expecting is there will be an outrage, and they will come and demand justice.
Mm-hmm.
It works, which we'll find next week.
Tragically.
Yes. But, that's why. He's got people who are messengers who will take the body parts.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an arm, an arm and a shoulder, and here's a leg, and take these people. This is not a proper treatment of a body.
But we would see Saul do something like this in the next book.
But not with a girl.
He'll do it with an animal.
Yes.
But again, it's an attention getter. It sends a message. You know.
And Saul of Gibeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The city comes up again.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will destroy Gibeah.
Yeah.
And archaeologists have found a destruction layer around 1100, mm-hmm. Light period. So, but they rebuilt.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's not for this lesson.
Yeah.
Well, I got a lot out of studying this thing. There are no heroes. It's just horrible, and it's an example of what happens when people turn away from God, go into idolatry, which leads to immorality, which leads to anarchy, which leads to losing your mind and doing horrible things, and the consequences of that. And what happens when people say nothing.
Mm.
Okay, well, are you all uplifted?
It's pretty dark stuff.
Yes, it is.
It gets even better next week.
But, well, actually the worst of it, the worst of the slaughter and the how the woman was treated, that's here.
This is pretty gruesome. This is pretty gruesome here.
But until you understand sin, you're not going to appreciate salvation.
Yeah.
Until you understand where man has gone, you're not going to appreciate what Jesus has done for you and realize that darkness is in here too. And thank God he has saved me from this mess. Well, it is 9:45. Thank you for attending to this and thrilling message of hope. And look forward to the next chapter and see where this goes. And really hoping we can get on to Ruth, because that'll be a bit nicer. But we have to get through this, because God has given this, and we need to understand this.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your the stories of the things that happened back then. Help us to learn from them, learn well, and not emulate anything that was happening here. Protect us this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.